Once again, shout out to Adam Byrant, the head of baseball operations for those Savannah Bananas. Enjoy it this weekend if you're going. Somebody on the text line said that he was going to go, but girlfriend's getting her wisdom teeth pulled out, so gave the tickets to the parents, and he's already insanely jealous. Brutal.
Oh, that's
stinks.
Hey,
you know what, though? If this is going to be a long-termer for you with the girl, it's the right move.
Yeah, good call.
You know, so you're making the right decision. The key is to get her on some of those pain meds and then slip out and go to the There's actually an episode of Wings about this back in the 90s where, you know, Joe was supposed to take care of Helen because she was having her wisdom teeth out, but wanted to watch the game, and so ended up drugging her and getting her, you know, all loopy, and then went and watched the game. Now, he was only watching the game in the house with the fellas and whatnot. She was up in the bedroom.
Yeah.
A little bit different, but, I mean, if it worked in a sitcom...
Richard, I'm so happy. Hold me.
Richard of the Week.
Not that guy, pal. Trust me. You're not that guy.
9 o'clock on a Friday. You hear the open. You know it's a Richard of the Week segment. It is brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Damn right, Mag. Let the people know. Proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories. And the best part is... zero bubbles, so you have zero troubles. So
best.
On your holiday weekend, go to your local liquor store, Hy-Vee, Quick Trip. They got them all there.
They're really good.
They're nastily good.
They're really
awesome.
Peach tea one's great.
Oh. Yes.
I mean, you could drink six of those. Got to be careful. Drink responsibly.
Yes, absolutely.
Must be 21 years of age or older.
Void were prohibited.
Airline, no?
No airline this week. Ooh. No airline this week, except I thought about it. There's a new airline seat maker
out happening.
There.
Not happening.
I sent you guys this.
Yeah, not happening.
Seats that are bicycle seats where you stand during the flight now to fit more people.
I can barely sit.
I don't know if it's bad or not, because it may be actually more comfortable, but then I saw it was a bicycle seat. I'm like, no chance. No. I'm straddling that thing.
He took the seat off his own bike because the way that it felt, he's not that old. Blink-182 song. Yeah. Mutt. Bob, take it away, though.
All right, I'm going with a University of Buffalo graduate was chased across the stage this weekend by police at Sunday's commencement ceremony for carrying a prohibited item while he tried to collect his diploma, a baby.
What?
What?
This guy graduating has his newborn son with him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For the College of Liberal Arts and Science, the video shows the student running quickly from backstage to cut the line of graduates and insert himself in the proceedings while holding a baby dressed in a matching royal blue cap and gown.
Oh, that's cool.
The student was trailed by at least two police officers and at least two people who appeared to be faculty members at the university. Unable to stop his sprint, the student hands with delight to grab the diploma and ran off stage. Crowd goes wild, celebrating the guy, having a great time, right? He was then escorted off the stage by the police officer. A spokesperson for the university stressed in a statement to NBC News that police were not called to commencement, but rather they were already there. The student, they say, ignored multiple directives from the university event staff and police and ran away from officers and broke rules by bringing an infant onto the commencement stage. The student has a different story. In a TikTok video post, he goes, I talked to the university ahead of time. I asked them permission. They said, sure, no problem. Bring your child. So he did. And then he gets there and they try to arrest him and chase him across stage because he brought his child to graduation.
But he told him that he was going to bring his child onto the stage?
That's right.
Okay. I don't know if he just told him he was going to bring the baby to the, you know, the commencement ceremony.
He said in the video, verified by NBC News, that during the commencement prep class, whether he could walk with his baby, he said he was told that he would be fine.
Mm.
So the University of Buffalo and the University Rent-A-Cops for chasing this guy across the stage at graduation for him celebrating with his newborn son, something that is a pretty cool accomplishment in life.
And he got a matching outfit?
Yeah.
Did he get a little mini diploma?
He didn't. No, that would have been fun, right? Would have been cool. But like, come on, man. It's like, this is graduation. Let people celebrate. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And in 3 weeks, the university will be like, and your student loans start now.
That's right. Exactly.
Do you have a job yet? No. Everywhere I go, they say I need 2 years of experience, but I need a degree. I don't know what this is, but it sounds like a catch 22 to me.
Mm-hmm.
Mac, you got a Richard of the Week?
I mean, just to stay topical with just having Adam Byrant on, I mean, it kind of just heightened the fact that, man, these people hating on Savannah Banana Baseball, dude. So
how about that text line guy?
Gosh.
We have a text line guy.
Oh, yes, dude. I sit back. As I told him it was lame AF what he said. You know what he said, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, you have it?
I could do this.
No.
Yeah, I got it. Here we go. Not my cup of tea. It's dancing and gimmicks. That's not baseball. IMO. It's a gimmick. It's fine, but it's not baseball. Kids are going to grow up and think this is gimmick. It's real baseball. I said, why would they think that? Dusty said, no, they're not. That's lame AF.
No, you're right. As Adam said, we're not baseball. They're not baseball.
They're not baseball. That's
your problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stop going in and having expectations and then having the expectations ruined and then you being mad at the person who ruined your expectation. Your expectation is all you. If you expect that you're going to see baseball, then you have the wrong expectation.
Yep. He's right. I mean, I'm still waiting for the Easter Bunny to come by my house and drop off eggs because as a kid, I thought that gimmick was going to continue throughout the rest of my life.
Right,
I guess he just doesn't know my address.
Waiting for a fat man to come down a chimney and leave me presents in December.
I mean, where's the bunny? As a kid, I was told.
And then as an adult, it should still just continue because you were told that.
My kid's going to grow up thinking that the gimmick is real
baseball.
And
you know what? Then you're really, you know what? I could have said something there that I didn't want to say. But if you're a kid, it's your job to parent your kid. Not the Savannah Bananas. It's not Savannah Banana's job to parent your kid. It's not my job to parent your kid. It's not the TV's job to parent your kid. It is your job to parent your kid. And if your kid is doing things, do not blame society. Blame yourself as a parent. That is your job. You're put on earth to make sure that you raise a good kid. And if your kid grows up thinking that Savannah Bananas is real baseball, that's on you for telling your kid this is not real baseball. This is entertainment.
Damn it, Martha. You got to let that boy of ours stop watching the WWE. He's going to think that's real wrestling. You're not going to know the Greco-Roman style. Aim high, shoot low. Come here, boy. Lather up. Let's go down to the unitards. Golly.
What the hell was that? I mean, like,
I'm
so over the
yeah, it's ridiculous.
The kids are, no, you're the parent. Be a parent.
It's mine,
wait, Dad, they're not going to be able to use fire bats when they go to the big leagues? 20 years later, where's that guy on stilts? I thought he was a real player.
Yeah, why isn't he with the Royals now? Didn't he get called up?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, come
live
on
a little.
With the kids, man. Like, that's just such nonsense.
Live
it really
a little,
is.
Love a lot.
What are the kids going to say? I don't know. You're a parent. You tell them what you want them to and how you want to raise your children. You tell them exactly how it's supposed to be done in your world, and that's fine. You're the parent. It is not up to anybody in entertainment, a celebrity, an athlete, to raise your child and to create all these images for your children. You take them, you let them experience, and on the ride home, you go, now, kids, obviously that's not real baseball. They don't try to be real baseball. They want to be entertainment. They want to engage people. They want people to have fun. Did you have fun? Yeah, then it worked.
This one hits kind of close to home for my Richard of the Week. Cleveland Mayor Justin Bibb doesn't care if the Browns leave Cleveland.
Did you say Lucas is the mayor of Cleveland?
Justin Bibb. Looks like Gus Fring. He says, quote, there are more important priorities than the Cleveland Browns.
Okay.
That might be one of the worst teams and the worst franchise ever. You get that team out of Cleveland again, you, sir, will realize just how important a football team is in your city.
Well, they're talking about relocating to the suburbs, too. It's not like they're going to, you know, relocate to somewhere else and the city doesn't want to pay it. That's fine, man. If these cities don't want to step up and foot the bill, the suburbs will, as we're seeing right here in this area.
I don't care if the Browns leave. I don't think that's what you should say in that position of power.
No, because the
maybe
one thing
you can have that conversation in the Brandy room, like, well, if they leave, whatever. But in front of the stage, in front of people, it's, we are working diligently to try to get a resolution. We'll see what happens.
Right. Because politicians, you know, you're either on their side or you're not, right? It's A or B, right?
Mm.
Everybody in Cleveland, though, is a Browns fan. And so the one thing that people unite around are sports. We can have all our differences in the world, but at the end of the day, at noon on Sunday, every once in a while, we watch the Chiefs. We watch the Royals. We all do that together. That's what people do together. And so when you say that the Browns aren't an important issue for you and you're the mayor of Cleveland, well, that means everybody that's a Browns fan no longer thinks you're important as the mayor of Cleveland because that's their football team, man.
Text line comes in like champions. So the Harlem Globetrotters aren't real in NBA?
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. That dude grew up thinking the Harlem Globetrotters were real basketball. Then he saw the 96 Bulls and his childhood was shattered.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's hilarious. What are the kids going to think? This is real baseball. What planet are you from?
Yeah.
God, these creatures are just roaming out there saying this kind of stuff. The children are going to think this is baseball.
Sometimes you fall into other Richards of the Week via text line. That was the Richard of the Week brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Just ask Mac, the proud partner of Dusty Likens and the proud partner of the Kansas City Royals. Each can of Surfside is only 100 calories, and the best part is zero bubbles for zero troubles. Wide receiver duo list. Can two in Kansas City jump anybody on this preseason list? I think the answer is yes. We'll discuss. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr., and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Friday morning here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty got another 40 minutes, and then it is off to the Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully you get your lawn mowed in the next couple of hours. It's supposed to rain a little bit this morning, and then you'll have the afternoon, I think. Somebody, you talk about ignorant yesterday. My neighborhood around 3 o'clock mowing their lawn on a Thursday at 3 in the afternoon. The nerve of this person.
What's wrong with that?
It was disturbing me. I was sitting outside. I mean,
I mowed my lawn on Wednesday. Tuesday, I mean, at 2:30.
Mow your lawn at 7 a.m. on a Tuesday when I'm at work.
Yeah, Bob's got very specific times for mowing.
Well, this is also the 4 o'clock on a Sunday guy, too. You know, same guy.
Yeah,
but with the rain coming, I guess I'll give him a little bit of give a pass. Free pass on
Man,
that
it was
one,
funny
right?
yesterday. Like, really funny. I was driving down Metcalf, like, where there's still the neighborhoods, and it was like, every other house, there was somebody mowing. And then when I got into Lee Summit in my neighborhood, every other house, somebody was mowing.
Yeah.
Get it done because it's going to get wet.
Yep.
And it's going to rain. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to be like, oh, crap. Now I have all these like weird chunks of grass in my yard. I got to take the leaf blower out and even it out. That's where my OCD comes in. I do that every time, and people look at me like I'm nuts.
Yeah.
I'm going up and down the roads. And I'm like, get that grass. Yeah. I'm dead serious.
I don't
want clumps in my yard.
Look, I appreciate the passion.
I will say this after we've had, you know, Aspen, you know, go through and do everything. I don't want to lose the grass ever again.
Right.
So I was out there yesterday. I don't want to say combing the grass, but going through the grass and making sure everything was okay and it looked good and all kind of stuff. Like, you get, you know, really sensitive about that kind of stuff. Dudes are like that, you know, with their lawn. And so, yeah, get it done this morning and then enjoy the rain all weekend long, I guess.
That's funny. Didn't realize Cleveland's mayor and Kansas City mayor drink together. I will say this. I was always shocked from the 913 that Michael Jordan never used the hide the ball under his jersey and pretend like he is pregnant move as they do with Harlem Globetrotters.
That's awesome. Speaking of Michael Jordan, his agent, for whatever reason, is out there doing the rounds today and said that Michael would have had 15 championships had he cherry-picked his teams like LeBron.
Rent free. LeBron is rent free and all these old heads of the NBA.
MJ needs to chill. Man.
MJ didn't say a damn thing. It's not MJ. Yeah. It's the agent. What are you going to, if it's like you speaking on behalf of me, that doesn't matter. Like, you know, the agent's out there. MJ has never said a damn thing. MJ doesn't do that kind of stuff because he's very smart. Now, I did see a story that NBC's paying him $40 million a year. I don't know if that's the truth or not. If that's the case, they better work him like every single game, man.
He
does need the money.
He does, man. He does.
But how about that guy's agent out of nowhere? Just like, if Michael could pick his teams, man.
Just every single type of guy at that age. Like, oh, flop. Okay. Go watch SGA. Go watch Jalen Brunson. Where's that energy for those guys?
Has LeBron ever had a Scottie Pippen?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he had
Dennis
Kyrie.
Man.
He had Kyrie.
Yeah,
he had Kyrie.
Come on, that's not Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, Olympic.
Well, who are you talking about? Scottie telling you the story? Or you, I mean, like, I mean, Kyrie's pretty damn good, man.
Scottie Pippen's the best Robin of all time.
Well,
in basketball, probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who is Robin? Tim Duncan or
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the Admiral at the end was, but when Tim first got there, it was reversed. But I think those roles switched, and that's okay to have those roles switch over the course of time, you know. But they definitely did in that scenario down in San Antonio. Tim Duncan became one of the greats of all time. But, I mean, God, Jordan's agent, man. What are you doing?
Every time I think of Batman and Robin, I think of that rap song. You know, I can't be your Batman because I'd be Robin.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
they
yeah.
have, like, the old video, the 70s dance show. And it says, back when the Bolivian Bam Bam was pure. And everybody's just like, I can't be you but me, because I'll be right. It's like all these people. They used to literally have a show that was like the dance show. They just played music and people danced.
Yeah. It was called
Dance-O-Matic.
It's not Star Search or something like that, but I know what you're talking about. We had like on the weekends and all these people would be dancing. So they used to do it in the 70s. And, you know,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
I think Ed O'Neill, no, that was Star, whatever. Well, I don't even know what's going on anymore. Duo wide receiver rankings in the NFL. Number one, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. Number two, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. Number three, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. Number four, Puka and Davante Adams.
Wow, that got up there fast.
They could be scary.
Davante Adams, though, I mean, like, he's in the home. Like, that guy's 30-some years old now, isn't he? Like,
bald last year towards the end. Like, he showed life with a lifeless quarterback. Tyreek and Jalen Waddle. Yeah, okay. Then Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. And then scary Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel.
A lot of these wide receiver rankings that you just went in a lot, but two are like two people have yet to take one snap together, and we're already putting them on the top duo list. It's interesting.
Do you think by the end of the 2025-2026 season, Rashee Rice, who possibly will be suspended, and Xavier Worthy could jump any of these names?
Well, I think that Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle is the one that I'm taking off the board right now. They don't
that's
have
the number
a
one player in the NFL, top 100.
Allegedly, yes, last year, that's right. Do you think he makes the top 100 this year?
Oh, he'll make the top 25.
Really?
Yes.
Even based on last season doing nothing and all the offseason stuff. And,
oh, yeah.
All right.
He'll be up there.
I'm going to say he's probably in the top 50. I don't know that he's in the top 25 this year, but I think they're the first duo to go. I don't know anything about Davante Adams and Puka Nacua or Terry McLaurin and Deebo Samuel. We haven't seen those guys yet. Not that we've seen Worthy and Rice, and I'm not sitting here saying they need to be on that list, but if this time next year that same list comes out and they're on it, that means the Chiefs did some unbelievable things from an offensive standpoint this year, and maybe Mac will be happy because they threw the deep ball and went 15-1. Oh, went to the Super Bowl.
Maybe he'll be happy. We'll see. I'll still probably have a gripe.
Somebody in the text line says it's American Bandstand. Is that the show?
Dick Clark's American Bandstand. Back. Maybe.
I love Dick.
Maybe.
I'd have to look it up because it's
maybe
it's
that was
such
the
a
show.
Funny video.
I mean, it's like just old 70s and 80s stuff, and people are just dancing, and people, you're watching this go on. Like, what are we doing?
And they're all sweaty.
You're like, what are we watching this for? Because it's on TV, and so people would watch this stuff.
Oh, it's so good, that clip. It pops up every once in a while, like in my algorithms on Twitter, and that song always plays, and that now is what I think of when I hear Batman and Robin. I do think that, you know, you had graduation yesterday, and Mac and I were kind of going back and forth with Soul Train is what people are asking.
Soul Train's another, a show where people were dancing,
But we were talking about what we could see from Mahomes and maybe Worthy next year, also with Rashee Rice. I think there is a very good possibility that they are underselling these two, and maybe some of that is Chiefs fatigue.
It could be. That's a good point. Yeah.
Right. Like some, again, I think Deebo and McLaurin are better than both Rice and Xavier Worthy. And again, I don't think that's a shot, but the text line has two names that I didn't see on there, which is JJ and Addison. Like, where's Justin Jefferson and Addison? Like, those guys were balling last
Great
year.
Great point. Yeah, that's
and
ridiculous.
So take the day there.
Maybe because they've got a new quarterback coming in.
True.
That's possible. But I mean, Tyreek.
But also, Tua's on the list. You know, his guys are there.
Justin Jefferson, it doesn't matter who's throwing him the football.
But like, you look at these and you look at these and you see the names, like the one and the two. Like, AJ's the one, Devonta's the two, Ja'Marr's the one, T's the two. It's Rice and then Worthy, right? Like, there's no worry to think about who would be the number one guy in Pat's arsenal.
I don't know. That's interesting because I think a lot has to do. Worthy or Rice didn't play last year for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. And probably, I heard he may be suspended this year.
Possibility.
Is it okay if Worthy becomes that number one guy in people's minds who are in care who's ranked one or ranked two or who the one and two are wide receivers and Rashee Rice becomes your second guy because of, you know, I don't want to use the, you know, he got Wally pipped or anything like that, but you were injured and then you're probably going to be suspended and Worthy's been there the whole time. Maybe he does become that number one guy.
When you look at Rashee Rice's build, that's like the prototype that Mahomes loves. Has the capability of getting down the field and getting open, also has a tremendous advantage of running over the middle and getting yak. I mean, that's just to me, that was what we loved about Sammy Watkins, who was faster than I think a lot of people remember, but also could go over the middle and snag one and take one 25, 30 yards. Whereas Rashee Rice, if he gets downhill after he catches the ball, we saw it last year. He was right behind Nico Collins, who both were in the top three when it came to yards after catch and total yards in the first three weeks of the season. Obviously, week four against the Chargers, he went down and was out. But I think the Chiefs receiving core, to give it a comparison, is a lot like how Matt Cotrero talks about the Chiefs or the Royals rotation. Not one guy is considered the number one starter, right? It's just you're the next starter in the rotation. Some people say, well, that's BS. It's Reagans, then it's Lugo, then it's Waka, then it's Bubic, and then it's Lorenzen. That's the order that they go in, which some people would say, well, then that's the order of the rotation. But it's also like, well, we're going lefty, righty, experience, lefty, and then, yeah, Lorenzen probably is out of your five, which is hilarious to think that that's the worst guy in your rotation. Whereas with Patrick Mahomes, didn't have Hollywood Brown last year, didn't have Rashee Rice last year, had Xavier Worthy. Now you get all three back together. There may not be a 1-2 combination. That might be why they aren't on this list, is because there are multiple options that could be 1-2.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, you're speaking of the mind of Andy Reid right now, which I absolutely love. You're speaking my language. The flip side is the fantasy guy out there needs to know who that number one or number two is. The other side is Andy Reid doesn't give a rip about your fantasy team. And so he's never going to have that designation of this is the number one weapon, this is the number two weapon, or anything like that. They may play different positions on the field, but every wide receiver plays every position, and every position is able to be played by every wide receiver out there. And so that's the mindset that you have to have when you approach this Chiefs team. Who's the number one weapon? Hell if I know who was ever hot that day and who's ever getting open. That's who Patrick is going to throw the ball to. They don't have those stereotypes, just like Hugh doesn't with the rotation, because as you say, you pitch the opener on opening day and then everything kind of gets jumbled after that, and you ultimately, you know, you get to the postseason, you start to do it based on matchups more than anything. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. The labels are ridiculous. That's for, you know, people who care about fantasy football, who's the one and who's the two, and that's why it's so infuriating for a lot of fantasy football players when the Chiefs players don't put up the numbers that they expect because Andy Reid's spreading the ball around. You got 10 people contributing every single Sunday for a win, or Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday.
One thing that we saw that is kind of nice yesterday was that the college football playoff is going to seed teams differently this year. And what was the one gripe we had last year, fellas, with the college football playoff?
Seeding. Which is interesting because everybody who got a first round bye lost their first game.
Yep.
And I was thinking about that a lot yesterday because having the bye in the NFL matters, as we've seen with the Chiefs. Having the bye in college may be the worst thing ever because you're still dealing with kids. And once you get them out of that routine and out of that mindset and out of the every day we're playing, we've got a week off, I guarantee you it's hard to get some of those kids back into that mindset of you know, turning it back on again because you had the week off, you had the freedom, all that kind of stuff. It's the holidays, blah, blah, blah. Getting them to turn that back on, I think, is a lot more difficult than the NFL. But what ultimately this told me is this is just a step closer to a 64-team league where conferences are eliminated because they're not doing it based on conference anymore. They're doing it based on 1 through 12, and whoever the committee decides are those seeds. Those are the order in which they're going to be seeded.
This is also, you know, you made your bed, you sleep in it. When you let ESPN and ABC take over college football because your ratings were low and no one was watching your sport as much as they are now because of what ESPN has done to it, creating a playoff system, expanding a playoff system, and now listening to the gripes, this is what happens. And the quote is, after evaluating the first year of the 12-team playoff, the CFP management committee felt it was the best interest of the game to make this adjustment. Rich Clark, executive director of the college football committee, said in a statement, "This change will continue to allow guaranteed access to the playoffs by rewarding teams for winning their conference championship, but it will also allow us to construct a postseason bracket that recognizes the best performance on the field during the entire regular season." So now teams like Notre Dame can get...
Yeah, they can get a bye where they couldn't in the past, which that's the only thing that I don't like. Like, Notre Dame has been the biggest fraudulent college football program of all time. They refuse to join a conference. And everybody has acquiesced to Notre Dame. Oh, let's bow down to Notre Dame because they're such a big brand and we'll give them anything that they want. Why are we still doing that in college football? The NIL has changed all of this. I saw a story about Vanderbilt today. They're thinking about building a village outside of their stadium to have entertainment stuff with hotels and all this kind of stuff to help for money for NIL. They're going into the real estate business. The game has changed. College football does not need Notre Dame, and they do not need to make special exceptions and exemptions for Notre Dame. If Notre Dame wants to be part of this thing, as of now, you've got to join a conference. And if you don't join a conference, you're not going to get anything beneficial. We don't need Notre Dame to be involved in college football like maybe we did 30 years ago.
I would say that they do. I mean, Notre Dame, I think, is on the same level as like the Knicks in the NBA. They sell. They have an audience that is true and proven. And like if Duke. If Notre Dame is in the college football, you know, championship, you have a region of people rooting for it, and then you have a bunch of people hate rooting for it.
Yeah,
you
know, that are hoping
that they lose. I mean, Notre Dame played Alabama in the national championship game, and everybody rooted, not everybody, but a lot of people rooted for Alabama out of pure spite for Notre Dame. Like, that's who they are. And, you know, obviously they do get the independent stuff, and it's annoying, and they have the Rudy guy who
he sucks.
Never meet your heroes. My buddy did. He said it was one of the worst experiences of his life.
There's not one person that met that guy that had a good experience with him.
Right.
He sucks.
But I look, Notre Dame is a blue blood in college football. There's no doubt about it. They are a sell. They are a team. If you were to go around into 100,000 people in the local metro area and say, name five college football teams, I bet Notre Dame would be one of those five
in
a majority, which is why college football caters to them, because like everything else in major sports, this team always seems to get the love. This team does that. They have their true blue bloods and they lean into it.
Yeah, they do. You're right. But it's not like, you know, baseball is making a rule that, well, the Yankees, if they just win 75 games, they're automatically in the playoffs, right? They're not making separate rules for separate teams. And you know, in college basketball, just because you're Duke, North Carolina, or Kansas doesn't mean you're guaranteed an NCAA tournament berth. You still have to go out there and get it. It's like, to me, they're stretching the rules so much to find a way to allow Notre Dame to be part of this. And I don't think they need to do it anymore. Is it better? Yeah, it is. You're right, Dusty, because we either love them or we hate them. But we don't need them to be part of this thing. And I just don't think all this maneuvering of rules to make sure that Notre Dame gets a seat at the table is necessary anymore.
Well, just so they get a bye, right? That's the only rule change there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can actually qualify for a bye now.
For a bye, yeah.
They're still in.
Yeah, they're going to be in. Yeah.
Are they, though? I mean, what if they're not one of the 12 best?
I mean, I guess I'm just going off. They were in the national championship last year. They have a top five coach.
Yeah.
They're probably a top 12 team.
No, for sure. I'm just saying, like, that there is now an opportunity that they don't have to worry about. Now, last year, they did get to play that cool game at night.
That was awesome.
That was sick.
And that was Notre Dame in college football. Awesome. And everybody was there.
Penn State? I can't remember.
No, it was they played Arizona State, didn't they? So good, we can't remember who they beat. Was it not Arizona State? No, because Arizona State had a bye.
Yeah, and Scatterby played in a dome.
Yeah.
I want to say it was Penn State.
No, it was Boise State, wasn't it?
Boise had a bye. This is great. So
Indiana?
That's right, it was.
Oh, yeah, because their coach, Google me.
Yeah, Google me.
He didn't play against good competition. Then he played against Notre Dame, got waxed.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But
we'll see. I like the fact that they're changing it.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. I think it's better for the big dogs. You want the Big Ten. You want the SEC to be included as much as possible.
And keep listening to your audience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's I get it. Like, not everybody's going to lean into it.
No, that's
like,
you just summed it up brilliantly.
Yeah.
Listen to your audience.
You don't have to take everything they say for granted, or you don't have to say, like, you know, everything that the fans want, we're going to give them, because then they're just going to expect it all the time. But you can cherry pick what you like or what you think is kind of necessary. Necessary? Is it necessary for me to drink my own urine? Rip torn, RIP. But the thing about that is that this is something that everyone said last year. Like, they're going to expand teams. It's coming, fellas. Like, that's just going to happen. There's going to be more teams allowed. But last year, the biggest gripe was seeding. And now we have an opportunity to where it's like, should Indiana have played Notre Dame last year in the first round? Maybe not. Maybe somebody else should have been seeded somewhere differently. And again,
Boise State.
But again, all the seeds that had to buy all lost. So it didn't benefit anybody.
It's 1 year.
Yeah, I know, but that's the only year we have to go on. You know, it's the first year of this thing, and we're making these drastic changes. I would say, maybe I don't want to buy in the college football. Maybe that becomes the thing where you don't want to buy.
Could be true. Could be true. I think we need a little more sample size.
Obviously.
Yeah. I just don't want, I mean, I'm glad that teams like Boise State can't now get a bye. I want them included if they're worthy, but no.
But what if they go undefeated? They do deserve a bye then at that point in time.
No.
So then you don't like this reseeding.
Well, they wouldn't be in the top four if they were undefeated. That's not, I would assume that is not the way it would go. I'd assume an 11-1 Alabama or even a 10-2 Alabama would still probably get that nod.
And then
that's
where you have the issue, okay? Because Boise plays in whatever that, you know, Fugazi league is that they're part of. And then you have the SEC, right? Is 12-0 in that Fugazi league better than 10-2 in the SEC, right? And that's why this, to me, is the first step to eliminating conferences in college football. We're going to end up going with a 64-team league. This is the first step. They're not telling you this, but they're telling you this because that's where the conversation starts. 12-0 is pretty damn impressive. But if you're playing Washington State and whoever, is that more impressive than 10-2 in a bigger conference? That's why we need to eliminate conferences and go with a straight, this is, what do they call that, round robin type of schedule for the 64 teams. Every year it's just a round robin of 12 or 14 games. You don't know who you're going to play. You do a draft every year at the beginning of the year. You play these great games and
relegation.
The 64 teams, relegation, get them out, move them up. Like, there's so much. It's a blank canvas right now for college football if they want to do it the right way. Just call me. I'll tell you how to do it.
On the other side, we'll get into our turning two for the weekend, and we'll talk about what we started the show with, which is one Jack Caglione making strides at an aggressive pace. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
.5 The Fan. I didn't know what was going on back there for a moment. It was quiet, and then
chaos.
I didn't know if this was
something started beeping at me.
Maybe it's that EAS test that we're supposed to be doing, right? I don't know.
That's heard of it.
Yeah, it knocks us off the air. It knocks us off the air, but you know, we'll get back to that. So,
yeah. 3-day weekend. Got Monday off. Happy Memorial Day weekend for all of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the rain's overblown. I'm just going to say. I think it's a little overhyped.
Good, good, good.
Because from what I've been following the last couple of days, could rain this afternoon. Probably going to rain Saturday night. I think Saturday day you're going to be okay. And then I think Monday is a wash. Monday's going to be like 60 degrees and like 90% throughout the morning and afternoon.
Gotcha, okay.
Which is like some people celebrate. Like, that's the one question I do have. Do you celebrate Sunday or Monday?
Sunday. I mean, or whatever. Monday's like my Sunday. I'll just be getting ready for the week type
Same.
Stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because Monday is like the actual holiday.
Right.
So some people are hell-bent like, well, the holiday's Monday. We do it Monday.
This is when we grill, go to the pool, do all that. I get you. Yeah. Sunday for me, even Saturday night, but Sunday.
Yeah, but it's the weekend. Friday, Saturday into Sunday, but not Monday.
At 11 o'clock for me. Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Early lunch and cocktails, man.
Yeah, but I got a pub crawl starting at 11:30 this morning.
Hell yeah.
So.
Smash.
I love pub crawls. Love pub crawls.
Yeah, those are fun.
Or like Breakfast of Champions in college. 4-for-4 at UCM. Shout out. Should have gone 5-for-5, but didn't live down there that year. So I don't know if you guys watched it or last night. I watched it probably 15 times this.
Hudson lifts his left leg and comes home with a 3-0. Cax sends a line drive. A rocket out to right. And that one's out of here. The first AAA home run for the Royals' top prospect. Jack Caglione circles the bases, and the Chasers are back tied 3-3 in the top of the fifth.
Boys, it's coming quicker than we thought. I brought this up earlier, told the boss earlier in the year, Caglione would be on this roster before the season was over, before the All-Star break was here. You're out of your mind, Dusty. He won't be up till 2026. The same guy told us that Buffalo was going to blow the Chiefs out in the AFC Championship game. How'd that work out?
He says that every year now. He's getting old with these predictions.
Spectre Bill and Charger Dot in this building. But no, I think that if there's one thing that I can, again, try to preach on the Caglione thing, where a lot of people seem to take the low-hanging fruit, let's not rush him. I don't think you can rush Jack Caglione. Obviously, right now, he's only played in three games for the Omaha Storm Chasers. He's hitting .308, has that home run, has one RBI. He has struck out three times. Who cares? He has 13 at-bats. He played in 38 games for AA.
It seems like that's it, 38 games.
That's right.
That went fast.
152 at-bats. Jack Caglione is 22 years old. He has a very, very smart head on top of his shoulders. He has a very good attitude about him. It's not a show to him. It's a job. He's not one of these guys that are 19, 18, built to come in and save the franchise. Bobby Witt Jr. already did that, clearly. Could have won MVP last year. Could win it this year if he keeps going the rate that he's going. Aaron Judge will win it again this year as he won it last year. But again, he is not here to be a savior of your franchise. One thing that he could be is a ace up your sleeve when you need him the most, right? I think this team is going to figure out that Michael Garcia is your leadoff guy. Bobby's your two guy. Vinny's your three. After that, we'll see where it goes. Does India hit fourth? Does Cags hit fifth? And does Salvador Perez hit sixth? I'm okay with that lineup. I don't think anywhere in there is that telling Jack Caglione, hey, 22-year-old kid, come save the offense. That's not what he's going to have to do. He's a guy that knows what his role is. He knows what he's about. He's been about. And he's done everything he's been asked and more every level he's gone to. And I think that you will continue to see this rate of success. It happened in AA, and a lot of people said, all right, let's see what he does in AAA. He's off to a hot start. That promotion could have gotten anybody shook, could have gotten anybody, okay, ugh. He's hitting third, playing first, playing right field. He played great right field for the time that he was there, showed people that mattered in the organization that he could handle it. And I'm sure those are big questions they ask all the time. Hey, we're going to bring media down. We're going to ask you some questions. We're going to see how polished you are. And he was, and he got the promotion, and so far he's off to a hot start. You love to see it happening because, again, this kid will steal the attention of the city. He will be a superstar, and he will be loved because of who he is from the inside to the outside to the size to the power to the smile and to the personality. He's not bigger than the game. He's not better than you. He's not that type of player. Those are the type of guys that you don't have to worry about rushing. They'll just fall into your lap. And right now, it seems like this year, the sixth overall pick from 11 months ago seems to be exactly what you'd want for your franchise.
Yeah, and he'll tell you when he's ready, too. He'll make the league either look really, really ridiculously awful, or he'll look at the league and they'll go, you're not ready yet. So we'll know exactly when Jack Caglione's ready just by watching, you know, what he's doing at AAA. If he continues to do what he did at AA, yeah, it probably won't be much time down there till he's up at the big league level. But then again, you have to factor in everything mm-hmm. else, who's going to go and when that availability is going to be there for Caglione. When are they willing to eat the rest of Hunter Renfro's salary and have him, you know, be sent on his way and, you know, eat the rest of that $7.5 million salary. When they're ready to do that, maybe that does open the door for Jack Caglione to come up here. Also, the trade market's going to be very interesting to watch. If the Royals are quiet and there's not a bat to go out, and I say the Royals are quiet, it's not that the Royals want to be quiet. It's that there are too many nerds from Harvard running organizations that are afraid to trade prospects because they don't want to get ripped on social media by other nerds living in their mother's basement. There, I said it. That's what it is. So if these teams don't go out there and want to offer up trades for the Royals, they may be forced to bring Jack Caglione up just because there are no better options out there that present themselves than Jack Caglione does. And if he comes up to the big league level and rakes and does great things, all these other ball clubs are going to be damned. The Royals got another guy up there. They got another one. Now you got Bobby, and now you got Jack Caglione in this lineup and a five-headed monster and in your starting rotation and an eight-headed monster or whatever it is out in your bullpen. I really do believe that if this Royals team can just find a way to score four more runs every single game, they're probably going to win 90% of the games remaining on their schedule. And that's not being hyperbolic. That's studying where the game is right now. The overall batting average of Major League Baseball is .244. It is the same batting average that they had in 1888 and 1890. Nobody's hitting the baseball right now in baseball. And so if you can insert Jack Caglione into your lineup and he's responsible to help you get another half to a run per game and you're scoring 4+ runs every game, you're probably going to win about 90% of these games going out because the Royals are, what, 16-17-1 now and they score four more runs? Do the math.
Jim Callis, who joined Cody and Gold yesterday, they asked him what he thought of the comp that J.J. Piccolo, the GM for the Royals, said when he called him a Pete Alonso prototype almost. He said he agrees, but he could be better than Pete, and he also brought up this name.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could put him up there with just about anybody in the big leagues. I mean,
I mean, I'm not trying to say we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame, but I mean, he's like a slightly bigger version to me. I don't think he's as polished a hitter, but if we're just talking the power, he's like a slightly bigger version of Shohei. And I know I was the one I kind of.
He also pitched, you know, so great.
He did, and it's funny. Like, I didn't like the keg. I don't think anybody should be compared to Shohei as a two-way guy. And like, right. I think the Royals also did what was smart. You know, I remember arguing with it with Greg Amsinger good-naturedly at the MLB Network desk during the draft last year. I would not have had him pitch as a pro either. I mean, it's interesting and intriguing, but his ceiling's so high. I want him devoting 100% of his time to being the best offensive player he could be, because that could be a 40-plus home run guy. But, like, I don't know, just the size and his ability to hammer pitches all over the place, out of the park, even if he doesn't square it up, it kind of reminds me of Shohei, to be honest.
So there you go. He's got power to all fields. He's massive, 6'5", 250 pounds, can stretch the plate, can move the bat throughout the zone and hit it out even if he doesn't even barrel it. He also went on in the interview that you can find on the podcast page of Cody and Gold on the Odyssey app. Said he expects, if he keeps going at this rate, the end of June.
Be crazy if he is here by the end of June. That would be faster than anybody would have thought that he would have been up here, both outside and inside the organization. And if he's telling you that he's ready, the last thing you want to do is tell that kid no, or anybody for that matter. If they tell you they're ready to be at the big league level, bring them up and let's see what they can do.
All right, boys, it is a holiday weekend, 3-day weekend for us. What are the two things you're turning this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'm going to enjoy a pub crawl beginning at 11:30 this morning, which is the greatest old man pub crawl ever, home by 6.
That's awesome.
Like everybody I've told I'm doing this to is like, I'm really jealous of that. That's like a good time,
it's
right?
A great
right
time.
In the middle of the day, and you're home in time for, you know, the nighttime activities and whatnot, and games and stuff to take place. So I'm going to enjoy that, and then we'll see what the weekend brings, because the weather's a little bit of touch and go. Like I said, we had everything that was outdoor this weekend already canceled, and I'm kind of disappointed in that. So, you know, we'll see how the weekend goes. It could be just a quiet weekend at home. I got one kid at the lake, one kid I still don't know where she is. No, I do now, finally.
Okay,
but
okay.
Located her. It's bizarre. So I don't know where I kind of am up in the air right now.
Yeah,
whether or not
okay.
I'm going to be supervising an adult child myself.
Mac, what do we got going on?
Myself. Finding a time to grill, really. And then honestly, yeah, just going to sleep. I'm going to try and sleep, relax, turn the phone off, hang out.
Nice.
Watch some movies.
You actually turn the phone off?
What do you call it?
Airplane mode?
Yeah, or silence, night mode. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, because I still, the reason that I don't turn it off, honestly, I would turn it off more if I had another way to play music.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I just don't have, it's my way to play music. So if I'm chilling.
Player.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, for me, I used to never take the phone into the gym. That's back when we had iPods, and it was right? And it was the greatest thing ever. I could leave it in the car and not have to worry about it for an hour and a half or so. Now it's how you play music. So you always have to have it with you. So, because Jen and I got into this big discussion, I'm like, I'm over you being on the phone. When we go to bed, you got to put that phone down, right? So I'm hoping, like, I'm 26 and I turn my phone off. I'm like, see, even the younger generation's doing it, Jen.
I just want to win, Jen.
So you don't actually turn it off.
No, again, if I had a vinyl player or something that I could just bring out to the patio and play some tunes.
Yeah, but then you're listening to the one record.
And exactly.
I
want my playlist. Yeah. I want my shuffle. I want the vibe. Yep. So
that's the beauty of a vinyl, is that maybe you hear a song that you haven't heard ever or that you don't listen to ever, and all of a sudden you start to like it or you understand it better.
We're so in tuned in this society now, immediately to hit that skip button if we don't like something.
Yep. Oh, I don't know this. I don't like this skip.
Out.
Yeah. I'm really trying to change that about me. I really am.
I have, this is going to sound so weird, but like if I'm going to go out for a long walk, I've made it a point to myself, I'm going to put on a random playlist, whatever it is, and I'm just going to listen to this whole thing. Do you know how hard it is not to get in there and try to take, you know, the song to the next, change the song and whatnot. I'm like, but I promised myself I was going to listen to this to try to expose myself to new things.
New music.
Right.
What about you, Des Man?
What now?
What about you? What do you got?
I'm going to get laid. I know that I'm hard. I'm kidding. That's probably not going to happen. I'm kidding. I'm going to go home today and I'm going to watch Around the Horn. I know you guys clown on the show that you don't understand
episode.
It. Very last episode. That was my childhood, man. PTI, Around the Horn, Tony Reale. Should have gotten a better send-off, in my opinion. But I want to watch that for the final episode. I'll miss Woody Page. I wonder if they'll bring back Jay Mariotti.
Oh,
I doubt that. Around the Horn, I'm excited for Friday because it is the last day of the week. You get Around the Horn's last episode today. Nick's and Pacers tonight. Yeah, after tonight. That one, yep. That's a big one at 7 o'clock tonight. And then
what kind of lead will the Knicks blow tonight?
I don't know, man. I just hope we see a 1-1 because I want six more of these babies after watching that game.
I mean,
on Wednesday.
Larry David, just him being there. I was telling Dusty yesterday, all that free content that we got. That's why you want the Knicks to win. The Larry David content yesterday was incredible.
Sitting right next to Susie, decked out in her New York Knicks jacket.
I totally missed that at first. I'm like, oh my God, that's Susie. Yes.
Give the ball back, you bald F. Hey, it's the weekend. Enjoy it. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Go do something nice for somebody. Never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Go enjoy the Savannah Bananas. Go enjoy Cody Golden Drew. Coming up next from 10 to 2. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.